B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
One question. Is it too late to change the name?
Nerd Radio starts now.
Welcome to Nerd Radio on the podcast page at WRAF.com. Wherever you get your podcast is part of the B-Pod Studios Network, and of course on the podcast page at
Rock929Rocks.com.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And as always, we're streaming Wednesday afternoons live on Checkpoint XP's Twitch stream, which is
twitch.tv/CheckpointXP.
Thank you very much, James. Al Beck and James joining myself, Chuck
nailed
Bean.
You really you punched that, man.
Dude, I nailed it. Yeah. And only if you're watching on the stream live, you see me directly. Yeah. The camera cuts right to me right when I deliver that URL.
Yeah.
Like a seasoned veteran.
Yes. And that's also the director of the Twitch stream.
Right. That is excellent.
Yeah. We may be in trouble today, by the way.
We might be.
Yeah. I came in the studio. You weren't up here yet, James. And we sat down, and Chuck was just like, dude, I don't have very much today. It's like, oh, good. Stop talking to me. Let's save it all for the podcast.
Right.
I don't. Why didn't you come say hi to me when you got here? You should have just stayed away.
And we wasted all that good talk about HR card fraud stuff by trolling somebody and their password to their sign-in system to get paid here.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So today we're all going to speak very slowly. And about nothing. or should I say even less than usual?
Even more nothing than usual.
Yes.
No, there's a couple things that went on, but it's not one of those weeks. Last week, of course, we were talking about Disney, the Disney streaming service, which was a grand time. And the week before that, I don't even remember what we were talking about. But this week, there's a couple of things that are happening. First of all, the thing that I'm most excited for is we are only a couple of days away from It, Chapter 2. Comes
That's
out
right,
in the theaters.
Yeah. It's like, what, Friday, I think?
Yeah, Thursday or Friday that's going to be coming out. And I'm excited, but the reviews I've seen lead me to believe that either I'm really going to enjoy this or it's going to be the third Matrix movie all over again.
Oh, no, a big old turd.
Yeah, we're
a big old turd with a bozo haircut and a big red nose.
Where they set up such a good premise in the first movie that then they can't pay it off in the next one. But I'm looking forward to it.
Again, another perfect metaphor for this show right here.
A turd dressed up like a clown?
A turd that loses it in the third act. Third act turd.
I will leave that up to our listeners and our viewers whether or not we follow through in the third act. So.
Yes. I might just leave. I used to do that. I used to just leave.
Well,
two-thirds of the way through the show.
It was usually because we had a wrestling topic coming up and we only had one mic that worked.
I know. Yeah. Well, yeah, we've also done shows where it was the three of us and we lost a microphone.
That's
in the
true.
Middle of a classic James rant, too. I mean, it was,
That's usually when it happens. That's when I get all aggro and start slamming stuff around.
Aggro.
Well, as we learned when Twitch stream started, don't bang on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was Al. Al's Iron Fist that did that this time.
Yeah.
I'm not taking any credit for that.
That's the thing, though. Like, James did it last week, and so he is, like, extra sure to make sure everyone knows Al did it. Al did it this time. It's Al this time. How soon we forget.
He's making sure to throw
a lot of misdirection over here.
Right, exactly.
Pay no attention to what happened in the past. We only talk about what currently happened now. This isn't a history lesson. This isn't nerd history.
We can't change what happened already.
Right.
We can only change what happens in the future. So
exactly. We're not time travelers, okay? So we can only prevent things from happening, and not in that quantum leap kind of way where we could jump into other bodies and stuff. So. Unfortunately, I can't transport into Al's body, and
can
then
you imagine if James could quantum leap?
Oh, dude. If I quantum leap?
Can you imagine?
Yes.
He's going right into John Cena's body.
This
is first.
Absolutely,
his
yes.
First stop.
Yes. Right into John Cena's body, and I'm going to look at myself nude in the mirror for a half hour.
Yeah, it's
going to be a
minimum of an hour and a half visit.
The new quantum leap would literally just be like Jackass. It's just James.
I love this concept.
James quantum leaping into other people's bodies and then doing the craziest stunts possible because he knows he doesn't have to deal with any of the consequences.
Quantum James. I love it.
Quantum James.
I love it.
Oh, my God. There we go. I think
coming soon to Netflix.
Yeah, we got a spinoff there for you. Did you guys read the, speaking of Netflix, did you guys read the thing that Netflix is saying with their new shows? They're not going to put them all out at once?
I read a headline, this morning, I think, that they're saying they're going to release them, regular network.
Yeah, on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that.
Hulu already does that with their original programming.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's the kind, why? Why? The part of the joy and point mm-hmm. of the shows is the
so
fact
I can
that
sit
like
in my ass yeah, in my underwear for an entire day and watch nothing but what I've been currently watching, the Santa Clarita Diet.
Really?
Right. Yes.
I've heard a number of people give positive reviews on
that. I'm not saying it's 100% positive on yeah. the show. It's just the person that I'm with is obsessed yeah, yeah. with the show.
And your choices are this or Grey's Anatomy?
Exactly.
As so, we discussed last week.
Yeah.
So
well,
I'll take Santa Clarita Diet. There's actually, they actually won me over probably like towards the end of the second season.
That's got right. Tim Oliphant, though, in it, right?
I believe, yeah, that's yeah. the guy. I think he plays like the main husband with Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. yeah.
Like the main. He's the husband to Drew
yeah,
Barrymore.
Yeah, he was in Deadwood and all that. Yeah, he's. I like him. Justified he was in.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, he's fine. For me, it's really hard for me to suspend disbelief. You guys know the concept of the
yeah,
program?
Yeah, isn't Drew Barrymore a zombie?
Kind of modern-day zombie, but she's yeah. like a soccer mom zombie.
Yep.
I'm a zombie, but I also have to balance being a realtor and also taking the kids to the soccer practice, and also I'm going to use my ability to be a zombie to only eat bad people.
Like right.
It was really hard for me to suspend disbelief as the everything that was going mm-hmm. on with the program. But there's some really funny stuff. Nathan Fillion?
Okay. Oh, yes.
From Firefly?
Yep. Yes.
Has a role in
Captain
a couple
Mal.
Of the seasons. And my God, he is hilarious at some points. But you, like not till later on, probably into like the second season. He just
right.
cracks me up. He's a,
I didn't even know awesome. He was in that show.
No, I didn't
he also voiced the Green Lantern for some of their animated movies. Yeah.
I just.
Look at that, Al Beck with the Green Lantern fact.
Well,
yeah, well,
I do love the Green Lantern.
It wasn't him, but it was. What was the guy that played. Jane on Firefly. It was Adam Baldwin.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
He was the voice of Superman in the DC Universe, the MMO, when it came out. And they just put it on the Switch. So you can download. It's like a 20-gigabyte download. So I
oh, my
new,
God.
I had to get a new card
so
for my Switch.
You were all in, man. You got the Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Now you got,
I got the DC,
DC MMO.
I got I get my superhero fix, man.
Well.
But they changed the voice. Like, it's clearly not. When I first played it years ago on the PlayStation 4, I was like, oh, yeah, that's him. I can tell it's Adam Baldwin doing a Superman voice.
Yeah.
But now it's like it's totally somebody else.
Hmm.
What the F?
God, that's a good show, Firefly. I got to go back and watch it again.
That was a good show.
I'm about due for another watching.
Speaking of rewatching shows, you came in over the Labor Day weekend. Switched yeah. over.
There was a marathon on.
Yes, there was. I noticed, I think it was the Sundance Channel, had nothing but MASH for
that's
like
right.
2 days.
Whoa.
I know.
So doing some of the overnights, I would just put the Sundance Channel on and do my overnight. And every now and again, look up and be like, I don't think I've seen this one before.
Al walks in every morning with a hard on.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, I can't tell you the last time I watched an episode in MASH and said, I've never seen this before.
Right, right.
It's been a very long time.
Which is crazy to me because I watched MASH and like Star Trek The Next Generation and Cheers mm-hmm. and all that stuff mm-hmm. growing up in syndication. Mm-hmm. So it was like on at midnight
yeah.
or 11:30 after the news or something like that. And even then, I could tell that watching it every night over the summer, like syndication only grabs the highest rated episodes
yeah.
and runs them.
Yeah.
So you don't see them in order and you don't see like... you don't see all the episodes. So
or it's like a package deal. Like, because if you watch Friends and stuff, I watch Friends on syndication a lot. There's
all right.
only certain seasons at a time.
Yeah.
So like TBS, because they're like the big money Friends network right now, will forget all like the cooler, newer episodes. Well, then like WGN, whatever, Chicago,
right.
will have like the really, really old ones.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see how that all gets set up.
Right.
Once in a while, you'll get a network that commits to it, and they're like, all right, we'll start at the beginning, and just every time we do it, it's the next episode, and they'll go through it. You get that every so often.
Well, and with the way shows work now, like they'll yeah. have these overarching plots throughout a season. Like it's really, I'm sure it's really difficult
yeah,
when
you
are
much
syndicating
need to do
a show.
That.
You have to run it sequentially
yeah.
in order to do that. But what I was getting at is that I know that I saw the same 30 episodes of MASH over and over and over again in syndication. So it's
yes.
crazy to me that you watched it
yeah.
somewhat the same way
yeah.
you were telling me the other day, and you've seen almost all of it.
Should I share how I, like when I first got into MASH?
Sure.
Back when I, when my dad was the one who introduced
how
me to it.
I
know, it's an origin story. when my dad introduced me to the show, I was hooked on it immediately. And so I think at the time, FX used to run three separate 2 hour blocks every single day. And then Fox 2 used to run just one episode at night. So there was 6.5 hours of MASH on every day. And I watched every second of it over a summer. And I saw almost all but one episode doing it that way.
And this was before DVR.
Yeah. And this was, yeah, no.
So this was, you had your clock set.
Yeah.
I got to watch that.
She's lucky.
Every so often, there'd be like a, I would tape a few episodes on a VCR.
Like all his favorites, like the Christmas yeah. episode.
I did. I had a MASH Christmas tape. I actually did. Like around Christmas time, they ran a MASH marathon.
Mommy, can we watch the MASH Christmas episodes?
And I,
you don't want to watch Rudolph,
dude. And I would watch it all the time. It didn't matter.
She's like, but the Charlie Brown Christmas special's on. I want to watch MASH, mommy. Yeah. I like MASH.
I want to watch.
I want to know what's going on with Hot Lips McGillicuddy.
I want to watch Hawkeye operating on guys in the Korean War.
Yeah,
it makes me happy.
Yeah. So I would sit there and I'd wait when the commercials would start. I'd pause the VCR so you cut out the commercials, unpause it when the show came back.
Dude, you fancy dude. Fans. Wow. Yeah, dude, he's already cutting out the commercials.
There's a VCR hack for you from the old man.
Elbeck's old man,
yeah.
VCR.
But yeah, hack. Watching it that way when
Thinking
the.
Straight back to the 80s.
When the DVDs finally started getting released, obviously I bought them all as they came out. And. When I collected all 11 seasons on DVD, I found one episode I had never seen before, and it's not even a great episode, which is why it was missing from all that.
It's like right. Some rare lost episode of MASH where like they said something that they didn't really, they shouldn't have said, so the critics were like, you can't say that.
Right, exactly.
Just wasn't a great episode. It was not, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, nothing says holiday cheer like the Korean War and
yeah, right?
Saving lives, I guess.
I had a, when I was growing up, I had a video cassette that I would tape Ninja Turtles cartoons on.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, I'd set it to whatever the maximum time is, like 6 hours or 8 hours, something like that. So I had 6 to 8 hours of Ninja Turtles cartoons.
Yeah, because you had the different speeds you could record on. So you can make a VHS last like 2 hours, 4 hours, or 6 hours, or whatever that was. Man. Taking me back.
I know, but I would have that. I would put that tape on every night when I would go to bed, just so Ninja Turtles would be on. And then if I woke up in the middle of the night, I'd be like, "Oh, Ninja Turtles is on. Cool."
He's got Michelangelo just lulling him to sleep. Like, "Oh, go to sleep, little Chucky baby. Yeah, go to sleep, little Chucky baby." Then he wakes up from a nightmare. It's all okay because Master Splinter's here.
Yeah.
Master Splinter and pizza's here. Everything's gonna be okay.
As we've discussed already on the show, I never really watched Ninja Turtles. So, do you still have that tape handy by chance?
Yeah.
I'll have to look.
He's also been having some trouble sleeping.
Yeah, right. Well, I told you guys last week that I saw the first half hour of Aquaman, and then I was really sleepy, so I fell asleep. Apparently, that's my new Blade Runner.
It's your new Blade Runner.
Because I have two more times I've gotten about 20 minutes more into that movie and be like, man, this is really cool, and then fell asleep.
Dude, I'm having the same issue with Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I finally watched it.
Is it the newest one?
Yeah, the newest one. Like, I was so excited. We had Kyle come in and talk about how great this movie is. I'm so excited to watch it. I can't wait. I love Godzilla. I got him tattooed on my damn leg, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And I fell asleep within, like, 20 minutes. I'm like, this is bad. I should...
Is it bad, or is it just like the moment you were watching it in?
For me, I think overall the movie is it's fairly well done, but I couldn't get into it. Like the story, like the story build up to the monsters fighting and stuff is kind of weird and out there. And again, I'm having issues suspending my disbelief in order to understand that there's all these giant titan monsters hidden somewhere in the earth.
Yeah, like how did we not find them up to this point, kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Like it's crazy. And I mean, essentially the whole movie is. You got to let the Titans come and kind of purge the earth, and they take dumps or whatever, and it helps renew plant life grow. And
that's the Godzilla
movie. It kills
the
humans.
That's the Godzilla movie I'd like to see, is them like, trying to deal with the fallout of the fact that these giant monsters have to go to the bathroom at some point.
Yeah. Godzilla droppings. You got to clean them up. It's like a giant Tamagotchi.
They find
out Godzilla's turd burglar here. I got to sweep up all these.
They discover that like New Zealand is actually just monster turds.
Yeah, I was curious though, because I remember the first time I ever watched Guardians, Guardians of the Galaxy. I fell asleep during it, and it was just one of those. I was really tired that day, and I just wasn't in the mood for it. And I saw it, I'm like, oh, that's and I hadn't really read any Guardians going into it, so I didn't really have any sort of. I knew who Rocket Raccoon was, and so I watched him like, wow, that kind of sucked. Like, why did they make
why
a movie
did I
out
fall
of that?
Asleep?
Yeah, that's. Great, good job, Marvel. And then like I go back and I need to try this again. I'm like, well, this movie's great. So, like, what was wrong with me that day? So,
yeah, I wish I had that same experience with Godzilla. Like, I'm not totally crapping on Godzilla, but it just kind of
Well, like I said, the Aquaman movie, fantastic. Like the effects, the like I said last week, the fact that they took characters that should not work, that are just silly, and made them work is great. Watching all the water effects and stuff, and like. The people are driving around, in the point that I fell asleep at last night, the people are driving around Atlantis in, like, these fish cars, which is, that's silly.
Like the Jetsons, but with
fish. All the cars, like one of the cars looks like a manta ray, and what Mara's car just looks like some kind of crazy fish with the spines, whatever, like that. But
she's got the Corvette. Of
as I'm
fish
telling
cars.
You, fish car. You're like, what? Fish car? But no, and then you see it, and you're like, wow, that looks badass.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I just out of curiosity for James, too, because you mentioned Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Are you a Blade Runner fan or no?
I tried watching the original on Netflix like years ago, fell asleep.
Thank you.
Okay,
and I haven't attempted the new one. I've heard a lot of good things about the new one, but I'm like,
I've heard nothing but good things about the original one, which is why I brought it up. Me and Chuck have had that same experience where we keep going back and trying to watch it again because, one, it's Harrison Ford.
Exactly.
And like, especially in like the nerd world, it's like so highly acclaimed.
Yeah, it's one of the pillars of, you know, like,
and
nerd
I know
cinema.
The Checkpoint guys are out there right now monitoring our stream. If any of them are Blade Runner fans that can come and explain it to me, I invite them to come in and try and talk me into watching this stupid movie again. Because nerds love Blade Runner. And I don't know. I cannot. Every time I tried, and Chuck's the exact same way. I think we fall asleep every time.
Every time I watch it, I get like 20 minutes farther than I did the last time. And then I wake up right at the end when the girl screams and dies. And
what's the movie that's kind of similar, but with Schwarzenegger in it?
Terminator?
No. Where he's on like a TV show.
Oh, The Running Man.
The Running Man.
Okay.
But isn't that like just Blade Runner, but for the dummies?
No, not really. No, I think they're drastically different.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Running Man, absolutely.
Shows how much I know.
The Running Man, absolutely entertaining. Yeah. I'll catch that sometimes on cable.
Yeah, because it's got the pervy guy from the game show, the pervy game show host guy, who's like the host of the whatever, the futuristic show that Schwarzenegger's on.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's the...
Well, the Checkpoint guys either are bored of us, don't want to know what we're doing in here to their studio, none of them can defend Blade Runner because none of them came in.
No, they're like, bitch, you flying your own. We also got nothing good to talk about this week. So, like, you do your show and we'll do our show kind of thing. Well, I do have a couple of things to bring up. One of them you sent to me last week, James. We'll get to it after the break here. Some Doctor Strange news from Avengers Endgame.
I'm wearing my Doctor Strange t-shirt.
I know.
Perfect.
All right, coming back, Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hi, this is Billy West, your old pal. And this is Philip J. Fry, 25-year-old pizza delivery boy. And I was sitting here listening to Nerd Radio. It's real cool.
You don't know anything about radio. Listen to me. I was a radio guy, and I know better than you. Kip, alert the men. I've made it with a woman. On Nerd Radio?
Welcome back to more Nerd Radio. Of course, all over your social media, Nerd Radio 101, and on the podcast page at WRAF.com and Boston...
Rock929rocks.com.
Thank you very much. And wherever you're getting your podcast, part of the B-Pod Studios Network. It is Chuck Bean, Al Beck, and James.
Live from the Checkpoint XP Studios.
Yeah. That's right. Well, as you're listening to this as a podcast, we aren't actually live. But if you want to imagine we are...
Recorded live from the Checkpoint, is that better?
That's fair. But while we're in the Checkpoint XP studios, we are on their Twitch stream Wednesday afternoons from between like 11 and 1 o'clock, which is you can find at Checkpoint. What is it? CheckpointXP.com.
Twitch.tv/CheckpointXP.
Bammo. And the reason I bring that up is...
Bammo!
I like that. I might steal that.
There you go.
Every time I drop a... Like, it's like my bazinga.
Yeah, exactly.
I just drop some knowledge. I go, bammo!
Yeah.
Chuck's been watching episodes of Batman before he came in or something.
No, see, now I want to see on your Twitch stream while you're playing Realm Royale. I want to hear you when you get a shot, good shot. I want to hear you say, bammo.
I got to say more inappropriate things
more
than bammo.
More appropriate than bammo.
Yeah, it's more like, F-O! Suck on these, I hairy thingamabobbers.
But a question comes from our Twitch stream here. Do us a free alley. I believe that's how it said. Wanted to know in chat, who's excited for the new Spawn movie? You guys heard about this? Finally talking about he's making... He's making two different Spawns. I don't know if it's a movie. I'll look it up. A movie or a show, but he's supposed to be making one that's going to be rated R for the adults and then a Spawn something for the kids.
Seth MacFarlane?
No, Todd McFarlane.
Todd it's McFarlane. Like Seth McFarlane, the Family Guy version of Spawn. I'm in. I'm in. Who's playing Spawn? Is it Peter Griffin? Because it's going to be him all fat with the face paint. Like, oh. I hope that buzzing's not translating all across the world.
Nope, nope.
Okay, well.
I'm from hell.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I said, okay, so Todd McFarlane is reportedly working on two animated Spawn shows, one for kids and one for adults. And then the Spawn movie that they're supposed to be working on is going to be a rated R. You know, speaking of Spawn, in the comic book stores this week, Spawn 300. He must have released some of that stuff in like a bi-weekly or something like that. You can't convince me. I don't know. I haven't done the math, but you can't convince me Spawn's been around long enough to have 300 issues.
How long would 300 issues justify?
Like I said, I haven't done the math. Well, you get at least an issue a month, so it's 12 a year. So I don't know.
But Spawn's been out since I've been in like junior high school.
That's true. It has been around since the 90s.
3,000 issue?
I don't know. All right, I'm pulling up the calculator. Right. This is not going to be great.
While you do that, yeah, I will say that Spawn was never really a part of my wheelhouse at all.
The only thing I know from Spawn is the movie that came out back in the day, and then they had the coolest looking action figures that I felt like I was too young to purchase as a child at Toys R Us.
25.
And John Leguizamo was in it.
He is.
And he plays that weird clown thing, and he does a great job.
Did Chuck think out loud while we're trying to...
John Leguizamo was also in Tu Wong Fu, Thank You for Everything. He plays a great drag queen. I don't know why we're going on John Leguizamo. He's the best.
I love unplanned nerd radio.
I'm running out of John Leguizamo facts here, Chuck.
I'm trying to math here, okay?
It's 300 divided by 12, right?
It's 300 divided by 12, but that gives me 25, so then I have to go back 25. And Spawn would have had to have started in 1994, which actually sounds about right. So there you go.
That's your Spawn update here on Nerd Radio.
You discovered this week exactly how bad I am at math. So there you go.
So it's been confirmed. We just snoped it. Spawn definitely had 300 issues.
There you go.
All right. Well, there you go. Now, in regards to the movie, I didn't even know there was a new movie being made.
Yeah. I loved Todd McFarlane when he was working on Spider-Man. And then in the mid-90s, him and Rob Liefeld and all those guys moved to Image Comics. And that was his Image Comics character. I remember picking up like the first year of it, and the publication was so... Like, instead of being monthly, it would come out, and then like 3 months later, an issue would come out, and then 5 months after that, an issue would come out. And just,
so it got kind of sporadic. It wasn't actually sticking to any kind of a deadline or whatever.
Makes it really hard to follow.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And then, you know, on top of it, Tom McFarlane, great artist, not so good at writing.
Mm.
So, I don't know. So, to answer your question there, Duas Friali, it's probably going to be like Aquaman or the DC movies. I'm not going to rush out to the theater to see it, but you know, hey.
And it's live action. It's not an animated.
They're saying it'd be live action. So, but they're going for a rated in R ratings. They can do all the blood and guts they want to, and swearing and whatnot.
And if you want to. Non-answer to your pressing nerd questions, you can stream us live around 11:30 Wednesday afternoons, twitch.tv.
I read something this morning when I woke up that DC is looking to get Keanu Reeves back as Constantine.
Really?
For another movie. I don't know if they want to do a second Constantine movie, if they just want to add him to a DC movie.
I thought he was great as Constantine, but I wasn't familiar with the comic or the character in that regard. I just thought as a movie, it's a character in a movie.
Yeah.
I thought he was really good.
I do really appreciate the Constantine movie. It's definitely one of my favorites.
And I don't remember liking that movie, but it could have been just like the Guardians of the Galaxy thing where
you just fell asleep.
It just wasn't in the mood for it or whatever, and I tried to watch it because I have not tried to rewatch it.
Yeah.
You know, I've never been a big Keanu Reeves fan, but I've been kind of turning around on that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like...
I think the whole world is turning around.
It is, and that's
the exact reason why DC's like, we got to cash in.
Yeah.
We got to cash in on Keanu while he's hot. We're going Matrix 4 or whatever. Let's revive Constantine.
Right.
I think we made a joke. We're going to revive Speed.
Right. Yeah, we get Speed back.
Bill and Ted's already coming back.
And the rumor is that he's supposed to play the Submariner in the second Black Panther movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
There's
Submariner or whatever. Come on.
Right.
Namor.
Of all the characters. Oh yeah. He does go by Namor, right?
Yeah. Namor the Submariner. Yeah. Just whatever. It, you know, that means Keanu's gonna be running around in a Speedo.
Well, that's cool, but I think that's one of like my most like I thought lamest characters from the comic books ever was that Namor guy. I was like, I always hated getting his trading card. I never really read about him. Never read about him much in the comics, but he was always, to me, like, lame-o.
Yeah, well, he's Marvel's Aquaman.
He is Marvel's Aquaman.
And people are pretty about Aquaman.
Yeah.
At least until you get Jason Momoa.
Well, Jason Momoa, to me, is a hell of an Aquaman.
He is. So. I would agree.
Well, I turned around on Aquaman when Geoff Johns was writing the comic.
Yeah.
Geoff Johns wrote one hell of an Aquaman.
Yeah, for sure. So James sent me this article last week. It's about Avengers Endgame. And somebody noticed once it came out on DVD and Blu-ray that there's a little, they call it a blink and you miss it moment, which kind of is a gaffe, if you will. It's kind of a continuity error.
Mm-hmm.
In the big scene.
Big continuity error.
I don't think I'm spoiling this too much, since it's already on video. And it's been on video for almost a month now. In the big battle scene where everybody comes back to fight Thanos. As the camera pans across everybody right before you get to Cap and he says the iconic Avengers Assemble line.
Yeah.
As it pans across Doctor Strange, he's wearing the Eye of Agmotto.
Whoopsie!
Oh.
Which has been destroyed in the Infinity War by Thanos so they could get the time gem.
Wah,
wah.
So I've not heard an official explanation for this, but it's only in that one scene, too, because any of the other scenes Doctor Strange is in, he's not wearing it.
I think the only explanation for this is, whoopsie, we really effed up this time.
Well, here's the thing. Own your mistake, though. Don't go back and digitally, fix it like HBO did with that Game of Thrones cup.
Did they go back and fix it?
I heard that they went back and that it's Starbucks silly. Cup will be missing if you, go back and stream it.
Yeah, I think it's already been removed. Clean, yeah.
Yeah, so unless you had it on your DVR from when it originally aired, you'd never see it.
Yeah. That reminds me, do you remember, what was it, like a month ago when Corey Graves dropped that S-bomb on Monday Night Raw?
Oh, was it when the dude got knocked into, was it Bobby Lashley got thrown into the projector or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. And then, holy S-word. Because I was watching SmackDown last night and there was a segment. Because typically when that stuff happens, they're on a tape delay, so the audio will just cut out if somebody swears.
Right. It just goes to silence. You still see pictures and things are happening, but it just all is silent.
Right.
Go watch Samuel L. Jackson on Saturday Night Live from a few years ago. Oh, yeah. Dropped a couple of F-bombs.
Oops. Oops. He can't help himself.
That's the word he's the most known for saying.
I know.
He can't resist.
That was the bit, too. I can't remember what they used to call it, but it was a bit that Kenan Thompson would do, this interview show.
Oh, okay.
And so he had Samuel L. Jackson on there, and he was supposed to say mother, and then Kenan was supposed to, step in and stop him. But he didn't step in quick enough.
Oh, yeah.
And for some reason, in Sam Jackson's mind, he didn't, think to just stop.
To stop
because
himself.
He didn't get stopped. He just said it. And then he, tried to do the bit again and said it again. So,
oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And that's why Samuel Jackson has not been invited back to Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns and Rowan were all fighting or something like that. And somebody dropped something because it went quiet for a good 3 seconds.
Mm.
Somebody, I think it was Daniel Bryan, fell down and said some bad words.
Oh, no.
Well, here's a guy that says some bad words. Mark Maron.
Yeah.
Very funny comedian. Mm-hmm. Saw him in Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling on Netflix. I know, Al, you love stand-up comedy, so you know Mark Maron and his podcast, something like that.
I thought you'd say, Al, you love Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
You love the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Doesn't?
Who doesn't? He's apparently going to be a part of this Joker movie. That's coming out?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that until you dropped it on us right before we went live.
Yeah, there's an article I saw that he's apparently before this, he had tweeted something about comic book movies are for grown male nerd child, which, not wrong.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But now with this, when the Joker trailer came out last week, he had retweeted it and said, oh, S-word, this feels like a real grown-up movie. Gonna be awesome.
Oh,
are you saying Maron. That because he's in it?
That's what the tweets that reply to him. He's supposed to play Arthur Flex Agent Ted Merrill. These names
Dude,
mean
Flex
nothing.
Flex Agent
to me.
Is like a nickname. Like you can be like, I'm the Flex Agent,
the Flex,
the Agent of Flex.
That sounds like a really good superhero name. You put Flex in it.
James' mind is still in John Cena's
sounds,
body right now.
Yeah, it sounds like an awesome wrestler. That was what my nickname as a wrestler needs to be.
Yeah. Mark Maron is going to be in this Joker movie and apparently has come around on these superhero movies if he's in them.
if he's in them.
It comes down to.
I'll give it to you.
You guys both, is the Joker movie on your radar?
Oh, absolutely it is.
We've talked about how you guys, you know, you don't watch a trailer if it's mm-hmm. something that you're already sold on. Does this fall under, like, I'm going to go see it, so I'm not going to.
I haven't watched the trailer. I've shared the trailer on social media. You know, I'll still put it out there, but I haven't actually watched it. I've seen the Joker makeup.
Yep.
Which I'm not crazy about, but it's not going to kill anything for me. But I'm really stoked to see Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. I'm a big fan of his. And it might flop. I mean, I like Jared Leto, too. And I, you know, wasn't crazy about that Joker. But it could have just been the movie, too.
Sure.
To be honest with you. I don't know. DC's just been not really bringing it.
Yeah, they're not. Their movies aren't quite as up to par, as entertaining as some of the Marvel stuff.
But even if the movie's not great, I don't know. It might be. I'm not getting ahead of myself. Regardless, I am really looking forward to seeing Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker.
What I got out of that trailer is it looks like it's going to feel very much like a Fight Club kind of movie. Like it's, you know, the Joker is a bad guy.
Who's got bitch tits then?
It's society that's awful. I don't know. That's a good maybe.
Yeah. He actually stops to ponder. Like, I don't know. Who in the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie would have bitch tits?
Robert De Niro's in it.
Is he?
Which is nuts. Yeah. He's, according to the trailer, he's playing some kind of like a talk show host or something. That in the trailer they show he finds Joaquin Phoenix's stand-up and puts it on his like late night, you know, the Tonight Show thing up on the screen. I'm like, check out this guy. He's awful kind of thing. And it's one of many, many bad things that happens to him that finally turns him into
They have him on the show to essentially troll him on national television.
Yes.
Oh, great.
And it's one of many humiliations and bad things that happen that eventually makes him snap and turn into the Joker. I don't know.
The Joker doing stand-up reminds me of something from the Star Trek convention.
Yeah.
During the William Shatner panel, somebody asked him, what's the worst thing you ever done in your career? And he went through like one story that he had done, like one particular episode of T.J. Hooker that he thought was great, went back and watched it, and it was terrible.
Okay.
But then as he continued doing his panel, he remembered like, oh, no. The worst thing I've ever done in my career was there was some comedy club that approached him and was like, hey, you're kind of a funny guy. Like, maybe we can do we can pay you. You can come in and do a set or something like that. And he was like, I've got the greatest idea. I'll come in character as Captain Kirk doing stand-up. And it will be purposely bad, like Captain Kirk trying to do stand-up. It's going to be awful. He's going to bomb. But the irony of it.
I'm in on this idea.
Right. Well, exactly. And he goes, he's like, but like. He thinks he's doing a good job. It's supposed to be bad, and that's why it's going to be funny because, you know, and like the whole audience laughs, and he's like, sounds like a great idea, right? So did I. I thought it was great, too. Turns out it's not. So it was absolutely awful. And he was like, as it turns out, that's the worst thing I've ever done, and now I'm depressed. Like, I'm sad now because I remembered that.
You made Captain Kirk sad.
You made Captain Kirk sad.
No, over the weekend, I guess at one of the preview screenings, there was a standing ovation for the movie. The thing I'm most concerned about is, much like Fight Club, like Brad Pitt is not the anti-hero in this movie. Like you can watch the movie and you can be like, yeah, okay, some of the things he's saying makes a lot of sense, but the lengths he goes to makes him the villain, and I feel like that's how this movie needs to be treated.
Yeah.
Like you can kind of try and make Joker sympathetic, but at the end of the day, he is a psychotic serial killer. Don't, you know, try and woobify him.
Trying to give him heart, make people care about the Joker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really care about the Joker as a person. You know.
That White Knight was pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's an interesting take on the idea that, like, what if the Joker was, you know, clinically literally insane and then like actually got whatever help he needed to be sane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do after that?
Yeah.
Well, Batman has to go to the unemployment line, I guess.
Well, he's got job security because he's got the Riddler and Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy. He's got tons of villains. So, you know, you can take one out of the...
Classic Batman villain.
I know.
You know?
Yeah, it's true. For sure. But it's also one of those things that's like, when you're, if you're making Batman media or something like that, there's like a list of things at this point I don't need to see anymore. You know, just like Spider-Man, I don't need to see Uncle Ben die. I know he died.
Yeah.
I don't need to see Bruce Wayne's parents die. You've done the Joker, like, multiple times. Batman has a bunch of people. Somebody online was saying, like, why don't we do a Clayface movie? Leatherface has never been in the movies, and
yeah, come to think of it, he hasn't.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, we
fantastic.
Have the technology now to do it too.
Absolutely,
with CGI and mm-hmm. stuff. It's
yeah,
cool to see.
If you can make Dolph Lundgren's Aquaman hair fly all over.
But that's one thing straight, they did not do a good job with Dolph Lundgren's Aquaman hair. None of the hair looked right underwater. But then again, I don't live underwater, so I don't know if that's what your hair would look like.
I don't live underwater.
I didn't buy that. Buy it as that believable.
I like that when everybody walks from the water into the, like, they all look wet. They all look like they just dumped a bucket of water on them before the take. So, because that would have been really silly.
It's probably a really cold shoot. Being
probably,
on that shoot.
Yeah.
Probably always freezing.
Heat lamps everywhere.
Yeah, they had to have been.
All right, well, I've got a couple more things to talk about here on Nerd Radio, one of which being the new AEW champion, Chris Jericho, over the weekend. Little problem with his belt. His championship title belt.
Uh-oh.
At the old local steakhouse.
Uh-oh.
I'll tell you guys about it next when Dirt Radio returns.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Nerd Radio.
I won nothing. I won absolutely nothing. There's no prize to win here. We're all losers.
And we're back with more Nerd Radio on the podcast page at WRAF.com as part of the B-Pod Studios Network.
Wherever you get in your podcast, we always encourage you guys to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify, wherever you get in your podcast, and follow us on social media at Nerd Radio 101. Al Beck!
Yes!
James!
Hi.
It's like a roll call.
It is.
It's Chuck being in here.
And constantly changing up the order in which you do it so James doesn't
know
who to cut to.
Never has any idea.
No idea who to cut to.
As I watch it, I can see myself like, oh, he's talking to me. And I see myself look down and find the right key. There we go.
I was going to say, how's it going over there this week?
Actually, not too bad. Like, last week I started to get carpal tunnel in my hand. I don't know what the deal was. Like,
too much switching.
Yeah. Like my hand got all cramped up because I think we had Erica in. So I'm like,
oh yeah, that's the
I
extra.
I had 4 fingers, and then I'd move my other finger to go over to either myself or like the big general, like the general cut of the whole room. And for whatever reason, man, my hand was like locked up. It was.
You're gonna have to use
the
both
claw.
The claw.
You're gonna have to have both hands hovering.
Yeah, it was like the, it was like when I learned to pleasure myself, but with the other hand back in the day.
The Stranger.
Yeah.
With the claw?
With the, that's, hey, yeah, it's going to be a rough
different
go.
Strokes for different folks, okay? That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Sometimes the claw does it for others. Sometimes it doesn't really live up to its legend.
Well, like this week, though, like because you're over there doing the directing on the Twitch stream, you know, you're on vacation this week, and you came in to record the podcast.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if you were going to or not, so like we just thought, you know, like, oh, we're in the Checkpoint studio. Maybe we can just get one of those guys to fill in, like Joe and whoever else. But like if Joe wants to come in here and help us out so Joe can run the Twitch stream because I don't want to go over there and do it.
Right. Eventually, like they told us there's another computer over there that's got like a drop system so we could, you know, put some stuff in there. Eventually, I'd like to use that.
Yeah.
That would be fun, but that would be all you.
Yeah, well.
He's aspiring to do an actual real show, real program. Yeah. Yeah. And the sound effects are played live and not in post-production.
Yeah, well.
Either that, or I will be walking back and forth from this desk over to that desk.
I was going to say, we'll see how long it takes for me to lose my privileges over there.
Well, first I got to figure out why every time we touch the countertop, our headphones
buzzes.
I know.
I don't know what you're talking about. I got nothing over here, man.
So I don't know. Something with us then.
Yeah.
Like last, all I did was grab the table and pull myself in, but whatever. I don't know. We're breaking it. It's brand new and we're breaking it.
The table.
All right. So one of my favorite characters that Marvel's created over the last couple of years is the character Spider-Gwen, which is an alternate reality spider person. It is in an alternate reality. What if Gwen Stacy was the one that got bit by the spider and Peter Parker was actually the one that got killed?
Mm-hmm.
She was jokingly referred to as Spider-Gwen in the comics, but they've finally given her an actual code name, which is Ghost Spider. And she's got a new series that they just started a new number one in.
Ghost Spider.
Right. So she, at the end of her last series, had about a year's worth of storyline where she got a symbiote costume, similar to the Venom costume, but with little differences. And that was one of the things I really liked about the original book is that because it was an alternate reality, you would see Spider-Man villains like the Vulture or Green Goblin or something like that, but you would see them in a new light. They would, you know, they'd be shifted slightly differently, which
would be
was
the same but different.
Right. In this new series, because her her identity has been revealed on her Earth, and everyone knows that Gwen Stacy is the Ghost Spider. She has decided to go to college in the main Marvel universe.
So Ghost Spider goes to college.
She jumps. So in order to make it to college, she jumps from her universe to the other universe using some technology, and then goes to college in the main Marvel universe, where, you know, Peter Parker is Spider-Man and Miles Morales is also Spider-Man, and then, you know, goes back to her.
This is
Earth
a really
65.
Complicated lead up to a comic book. My God.
Yeah,
it's like, might as well take a physics course while you're at it.
It's a bit, but one of the things that is drastically different about Gwen is her symbiote. That is her costume, mm-hmm. is made of spiders.
Okay.
And somebody in the new issue of number one of Ghost Spider, like, she saves this family, and this little kid asks her how to, because she has so much white on her costume, like, how do you keep your costume clean? And she's like, it's made of spiders. It's just,
that's terrifying. It's, that's just a terrifying kind of.
It's just that she's wearing a costume.
I have to put on a suit of nightmares to go fight crime right
it's
now.
Made of spiders.
I'm Gwen Stacy, the Ghost Spider.
That is horrifying. My God.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I felt like I had to share this with you guys, because much like, what was it, a couple of months ago when the Spider-Man annual came out with Peter Parker. And
yeah.
I discovered that Peter Parker is not a pig that was bitten by a spider, but a spider that was bitten by a pig.
Oh, no.
This is just...
Peter Parker makes me laugh, just the mere mention of him every time. I love it.
It's a funny little...
It also sounds like a nickname you'd give a chubby kid in high school, you know? Hey, you see Peter Parker? Peter Parker over there has got extra pizza on his lunch tray.
What a
Porker.
Thank you so much for pointing at Chuck when you did that, because I don't think I could have handled it. I would have gone.
I wasn't aiming at anybody's specific.
I know.
Like, Peter Parker over
here.
But
if you were pointed across the table,
like, hey, Peter Parker, you fat porking son of a bitch, why don't you eat some more pizza?
It's really weird when James got up and walked across the table and pointed right in my face. I thought that was a bit much.
And then he gave you a swirly.
Right.
It's a real rough show.
He gave me pizza afterwards, though. That was pretty cool.
You better do my homework too, you porker.
I do love some pizza. I'll do your homework for some pizza. I love me some pizza.
I was going to say something even worse. I'm just going to move on.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
On the next segment, what will Chuck do for pizza?
Yeah.
The list is very long. There's a much shorter list of things Chuck wouldn't do for pizza. Yeah. So
doing the dishes is not on there, though.
No, I'll do the dishes. I'll do the dishes all day long. I did that. Me and Amy got an agreement. She does the cooking. I do the dishes. Because I don't know how to cook. So
I applaud you guys if you stick to that agreement.
I can wash some dishes.
I've had a similar agreement in my relationship. It hasn't really gone the way it started out, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay, though.
This week, the Steven Universe movie was on Monday, debuted on Cartoon Network. I'm actually wearing my Steven Universe shirt today because I'm celebrating that I watched it last night. It was very good. It's supposed to be kind of the ending of the series.
Oh no!
I don't know that they're going to be coming back for more Steven Universe, but it was a great end. There were a bunch of songs like Steven Universe.
It was a good send off.
Yeah, and the Steven Universe cartoon, much like most of the Cartoon Network's shows, are like these 2 11-minute segments. So like each episode is, you know, 11 minutes, and then you get a commercial break, and then there's a new episode, 11 minutes. That way they can vary them up. You know, if they go going back to our syndication thing. But this one was like an entire 90-minute movie with no breaks whatsoever, no commercials or anything like that. And like,
wow, no commercials either.
Nope.
That's rarer to find these days than any kind of a made-for-TV type movie.
Right. And they felt like, you know how Disney always has like 4 or 5 songs in the movie? This had like 11.
Like, it was like a musical.
It was literally
a musical. Either they had this in mind going into it as like a musical, or they're like, oh man, we only have like 30 minutes worth of stuff. We need 11 songs to make this 90 minutes.
Right? It's like they wanted to make sure they made an entire album if they were, you know, if this is the last thing they were doing, I guess.
It also could be a great idea, like, for marketing to try to make a few extra bucks. I don't know how popular Steven Universe is with the kids.
Right.
And I don't know if the kids are actually buying CDs anymore.
That's true. Or maybe, you know, you're buying it on iTunes, more than likely.
So you're kind of hoping that maybe one of these songs will totally is... A hit
be a
catches
huge
on,
hit.
And
yeah.
then we'll have a million right. downloads of the Steven Universe. I found my butt song or whatever. You're thinking about.
No, it was a fun time. And if you haven't caught it yet, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it is there's a new character, and she is animated differently than the other characters. So, like, she looks like she's straight out of, like, an old Disney, like, Steamboat Willie era cartoon, and it's really mind-blowing to watch that animation style interacting with all the regular Steven Universe animation
style. Let me ask this, if you can tell me without spoiling anything.
Okay.
Do they kind of go down the path of, like, any kind of social, political commentary with this other type of animated character?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Because Rock was Modern Life. I don't know if you watched Rock was Modern Life, the remake on that, which I think was great. It totally hit on all the nostalgia strings perfectly.
Yep.
100%. It was like, I felt like I was Sunday morning, my dad's making pancakes and sausage for breakfast, and Rock was Modern Life was on in the background. But then it got into some kind of socio-political stuff that I was not expecting, but I think that they did a great job with.
I agree. I like that there's a particular character who was a male in the original series, and both the Rocko's show and the Invader Zim show on Netflix deal with the fact that, like, they haven't had an episode in years. So, like, right in the first 5 minutes, there's some kind of explanation to, like, this is why, this is what the character's been doing over the last whatever when they haven't gone on. But there was a character originally in the Rocko's Modern Life that was male, and this particular episode has changed gender to female. And the part of the story arc is getting their parents to, you know, accept this new version of
it. That was very well. Like, it totally caught me off guard. Like, all of a sudden, I'm watching this cartoon that I'm like, oh, I'm just going to get a little nostalgia feels.
And sure,
like,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, this is a great piece of commentary on modern time. Like, the winds of change are coming to try to let people see things are different now than what they were back then.
Right. But it was really cool. Have you seen the Invader Zim one?
I have not. I don't know anything about Invader Zim other than I could recognize the character in a lineup. That's about it.
Yeah, it was. I watched it with Amy a couple of weeks ago. It was very fun. It was very good. I will never get over the fact that the creator of Invader Zim, Jonathan Vasquez, got a job with Nickelodeon. Because he did a comic called Johnny the Homicidal Maniac, like, initially.
Wow.
And that comic is dark.
Johnny the Homicidal Maniac?
That's a James's Christmas lift.
Yeah. There's hope for me after all, being some sort of a weird, deranged, pervert or whatever.
You might eventually get a job with Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I could be working with kids after all.
That is scary.
You're telling me.
Yeah. Speaking of cartoons.
I've seen what's in my closet.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, my God. James's closet. Can we do a special remote piece where we go check out James's closet?
Get Geraldo to
Oh, my God. Yeah.
On this episode, we go deep inside the public pervert's closet to see what skeletons are actually hiding.
Right. Oh, my God. Yeah. Think about the stuff that James puts out there.
Yeah.
Exactly. What is James
hiding?
There's
some stuff on my phone that I even can't even put out on social media. And it has to do with, like the gender face swap. Like,
you're like, even for me, that's too far.
Exactly, yes.
It was also, speaking of animation, it was announced over the weekend that Toonami, Cartoon Network's kind of their Saturday night Adult Swim stuff where they play all the anime, they are going to have in 2020 Uzumaki, which is a manga that was done by Junji Ito, who does strictly horror stuff. And that's something that I'm super interested in.
Have they been running trailers for that on Adult Swim yet?
Yes.
Okay, I think I've been watching
the
trailers.
It's all the spirals everywhere, like in the sky or something like that.
I'm not much of an anime guy, but I'm like, this might draw me into that world.
Yeah, Junji Ito has a whole bunch of like short story manga books that are have some fantastic stuff. One of them involves these kids that are in school and telling each other these stories about these balloons that would have your face on it.
Okay.
And if you let the balloon like catch up with you, like people would find themselves hanging from a balloon.
Ooh.
Like they died.
Okay.
And that's just one of the stories. But he has a bunch of really scary stories on Crunchyroll last year. Actually, they over in Japan, they did what I think they just called the Junji Ito collection, and it was these half-hour episodes that would be two or three of those short stories animated into the show, and it was real cool because some of them I'd never read before, and then some of them I was like, oh, I remember this one. I can't wait to see this creature.
It must have had some sort of a success then if they're going to actually take it and put it now on Toonami or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. But it does something to look forward to for anime fans. But let's get to the big news this week.
We have big news.
All right.
Big news, Al.
Big news.
Big news.
Huh? What?
If we were on the drops, we could have some sort of a sound effect, but instead we'll go, big news, news.
And now, big news on Nerd Radio.
News that's big.
All right, so this weekend was AEW's All
News that's
Out.
Big. I like that so much. That's awesome. Shut up, Chuck. I'm still appreciating it.
All right,
that.
Fair.
I like that you saw.
Let me know when I can continue the show.
All
enjoy,
right, I'm done. I'm
enjoy
done.
Yourself. Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. Okay, I'm done. Go ahead.
Oh, we doing that? Okay, cool.
Now to the big news.
AEW's All Out was this past weekend. Listeners last week know that Erica was here. And
you got my...
I'm just going to turn Al's mic off so I can get through this here.
Al has been deleted from the show.
You have been removed. No, I'm sorry. Because it was like, pay attention, Al. There's big news. Wrestling. Oh.
No, you're going to like this story. You got,
big
sure
news
you...
for some, maybe just not for
no,
you.
No, it is. Absolutely. No, it's just because you specifically got my attention.
But because I know what's going on. This is actually really funny.
Okay. This is a very funny story. So AEW.
And then no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I had to interrupt you.
I was about to slam my hand down because I'm laughing, but I don't want the buzzing to come back into the headphones. I'm scared.
I'm done. By all means, continue.
Jefferson used to troll me this hard. I never expected it from you.
Oh, please. Yeah. Hallo und willkommen. How many times do I interrupt you in German?
Okay, so last week we talked about AEW's All Out, their big event that they had in Chicago this weekend.
Wrestling.
Of course, there was StarCast, which was like all the wrestling podcasts were there, and they had a whole bunch of wrestling people. CM Punk had a thing.
He did like a panel.
He did a panel at StarCast where he said that he wouldn't not talk to Vince McMahon.
Yes.
But he's really not interested in coming back to wrestling kind of thing. But it's not like if he saw Vince McMahon on his caller ID, he would not pick up the phone, you know, or Triple H, whatever like that. Coming out of All Out, their big event was the crowning of their first AEW heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
It was Y2J, Chris Jericho, who I'm sure you're familiar with,
yes,
Al,
yeah.
Against Hangman Page, who was a younger wrestler. Chris Jericho won that match to become the first official AEW heavyweight champion.
Okay.
There's a very funny video afterwards of him backstage talking a bunch of smack.
Bubbly.
Yeah, and he gets to the...
Time for the bubbly.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of the bubbly. There, he's got some of the some alcohol to imbibe with.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, after he left the arena, he...
Where would you go if you just became the first AEW heavyweight champion? Where would you go to celebrate, Al?
Where would I go to celebrate? I mean, I'd probably go to the comic book store, but something tells me that's not where we went.
It's not where Chris Jericho went.
Oh, I'm hungry?
Yeah.
I'm hungry. See, I unfortunately already know the answer, so.
Oh, well, damn it, Al. Damn it all to hell, Al. Yeah, I didn't know you were in on the secret.
How long am I going to let this go?
Dude, I'm trying to build up. I'm trying to make some suspense.
Honestly, I should have said the steakhouse to see what you.
I'd be like, oh, my God.
You got it in one.
Whoa. You would have blew my mind, man.
First try.
Yeah. Carl's Jr.
Carl's Anyways, Jr. Continue with the story, Chuck.
Yeah, so Chris Jericho.
Steak and Shake.
After he. Man, I would go to Steak and Shake. It's been a minute since I had some Steak and Shake. It was a little shoestring fries. Woo. Jericho went to Longhorn Steakhouse to celebrate and left the title in the limo. And when he came back, it was missing. He had not even had it 24 hours, and he had lost the AEW heavyweight title.
You would think, though, that you could. I didn't realize that full story. I knew it was a steakhouse, and actually, unfortunately, it was somebody tweeted to you, and I saw the Twitter interaction on your thing.
Oh yeah,
and that's how I know about this. Yeah, so unfortunately, out, yeah,
right.
The last episode of the podcast,
right?
Get a few more clicks in on it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Somebody responded,
and so I just that. Happened to. So the fact that you tagged me in the post is what spoiled it. So thanks for the tag, by the way.
Try to help give him some exposure.
Yeah. Right, right.
Try to help him out.
And yeah.
Smarten him up.
Ruin
but
our
you
bit.
Would you would think you could leave it in the limo.
Yeah, you would think.
You would think.
So apparently they had to file a report with the Tallahassee Police Department. And what had happened is the limo driver had taken his bags to the airport. Something along those lines, and put the belt in with his bags or something like that. Inadvertently, everything got tossed into the lost and found at the airport. So it took a couple of days. But the AEW heavyweight title is finally back in the hands of the champion, Chris Jericho.
So it has been recovered.
It
okay.
has it has been recovered. But
oh, God.
Thank God I was worried sick.
The last I tell you what.
You sound a little worried.
The last 48 hours have been gold on social media talking about this story. People talking about, like, what if Chris Jericho literally is in AEW as a plant for Vince McMahon.
Well, I feel like this whole thing is a work. Longhorn Steakhouse paid AEW some bucks to get some viral attention.
That's entirely
that's
possible.
What I feel like this could be. It's yeah. Some sort of a AEW trying to do some stuff differently than WWE. Hey, sponsors, here's what we can do differently. Instead of just giving you a commercial for Longhorn Steakhouse, because no one's really going to pay attention unless we have our wrestlers wrestling to the side of the commercial like right. On SmackDown, we are going to create something that happened at one of your establishments. We are then going to tweet about it, and then we'll see if it picks up from there. And then Longhorn Steakhouse is like, you know what? We're in. Here's some free chili cheese fries.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make me want to go to Longhorn. I just think my championship belt's going to get stolen if I go there.
Well, yeah, that's
kind of... where champions dine, Al. Longhorn Steakhouse, AEW heavyweight champion. Chris Jericho eats their prime rib. Where are you going to go?
Steak and Shake.
Steak and Shake.
You know? You're going to dine where the champions dine.
Yeah.
They do have, this is the second.
Chipotle.
They had it at All In, and then they had one at All Out, too. They do have a sponsorship with Cracker Barrel.
Do they really?
Where they had a barrel with the Cracker Barrel thing on it, like now, at the side of the ring.
I wonder if Cracker Barrel is associated with Longhorn. I know Longhorn I think is owned by the same people that own Red Lobster and Olive Garden.
Oh, man, I love both of those things.
Yeah, but they know what they're doing. That's why they're the restaurateurs. That's why we do this podcast, because we don't know what we're doing.
Right.
That's why they have all those restaurants, because they know.
So if that parent company would like to get some free ads, or, you know, not free ad space, but we'll do a little trade. You want to give us some Red Lobster? We're in for it.
Oh, man.
Red Lobster. Where all the nerds eat.
That's right. Yeah, for sure.
Your go-to place for nerd seafood fandom.
But people were joking about back in the Monday Night Wars, the WWE Women's Champion showed up on WCW and like dropped their title in the garbage. They're like, oh my God, if Chris Jericho shows up on SmackDown with the AEW title, oh my God. But of course, that's not what's going on here. Funny story, and talking about that Cracker Barrel thing too, they had the Cracker Barrel sponsored a triple threat match this weekend between three of the guys that were hardcore guys and one of them.
Such a weird sponsor.
It's a very
I think Cracker Barrel, I'm thinking like my grandma. You know, or going on a road trip. And
I think the idea behind it is because the wrestlers, you know, driving from town to town, need to get something to eat or something like that. A lot of them go to the Cracker Barrel. So they decided to contact Cracker Barrel Corporate and say, hey, you guys want to, you know, maybe sponsor a match or something at this big event?
I mean, it's
smart
thinking on AEW's part.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, one of the wrestlers, like, took the barrel up to the top rope and then dove off the top rope with the barrel between him and like a table, and it just disintegrated.
I just love the idea of corporately sponsored props to use in a wrestling match.
Oh yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Hopefully Black and Decker does not get involved, because you got drills.
Yeah.
You get like getting a sex shop involved, and now you get smacking people around with dongers, which I've already done. Okay,
right.
I did it first in case any wrestling league decides to have sex toys involved and people get beat up with dongers.
Right, you were there first.
Yeah, we did that already here in Detroit. So. Chuck Bean was a part of it.
I was. I got to be the ref. It was fantastic.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I loved it so much. Thank you very much, Detroit Style Wrestling, for letting me bounce around in your ring for a minute and take a back bump and knock the wind out of myself. It's still one of the highlights of my career.
It's funny because I've always, like, even though I haven't really been into wrestling since I was a kid, I've always wondered that same thing, too, like what it actually feels like to take a bump in the ring.
Yeah. Oh, it's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Well, Al, just stand up and jump backwards and land straight flat on your back. That's how it feels.
Well,
those are just 2x4s. On a metal framing, and there might be one of those like high school wrestling mats in there.
I don't think I'd get up. I don't want to be able to get up again.
Yeah, but
that's why I wouldn't take a bump. I was like, I got this back issue, so can we just pretend like
I know? That was the funniest thing. Is like, I'm supposed to be playing the referee, and then it was you and Chuck the Freak were supposed to be doing the wrestling thing, and the guy who was I unfortunately can't remember his name, and I apologize for that. The guy who was supposed to be, you know, kind of overseeing
one of the trainers, one of the instructors.
Yeah, he kept trying to talk you guys into like, okay, well, you want to, yeah. I can teach you a couple of moves if you want to make it look real. And you guys are like, no, I can't.
Like, no, let me just have him shove these cheeseburgers in my face and let the Rock Girl slide a dildo into the ring. And smack
right, right.
And then we're going to go cut to our
review.
Is
that video still online?
Yeah, I think it is. It might be on the Riff's web YouTube channel by now.
Right.
That was a 2x1 video game review.
Yeah, we'll have to take a look. If we can get it, we should like put it out on the Nerd Radio Twitter and Facebook page.
Relive that kind of stuff.
Since we're talking about it.
For sure.
It's a little throwback, man.
Yeah.
Did you, when you were growing up, did you, either of you guys, because I know, Al, you saw a little bit of wrestling, did you have any aspirations?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, did a little of that backyard wrestling with my friends, you know, like not like the backyard wrestling, just, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, nothing I really pursued.
Yeah, nothing I thought was going to become a career, but we'd wrestle around the pool.
Yep.
I had a big pool that was like 8 feet deep, so we do like the rock bottom off of the diving board, or we try to do the Stone Cold Stunner or power bombs and stuff where we're almost coming within inches of death.
Yeah.
But I was never like, you know what, one day I'm going to be a professional wrestler because I knew I was a bitch and couldn't really handle
it. No, I remember when MTV and WWE had that Tough Enough show.
Yes. Yes, yes, I love that show.
Yeah, I remember that.
And well, that was eye-opening in a way that, like, you, I think one of the reasons they stopped doing it or stopped showing as much as they did was because, like, I learned how to do a vertical suplex and a, you know, pick up a guy up for a body slam by watching Tough Enough.
They're showing you too much behind the scenes. Yeah. Stuff. You're letting, like watching, letting you in too much on the kayfabe.
Watching Al Snow teach guys how to wrestle. I'm like, okay, yeah, okay. And then, you know, I had a friend with a trampoline, and we did some backyard wrestling.
Yeah,
like,
dude,
okay,
I love that show
because
it combined, like, all the stuff that already sucks you in about reality TV, and then it combines WWE stuff. So you're seeing WWE superstars that you normally wouldn't see,
right?
You know, not in character or doing things that you wouldn't normally see the character doing. It was a blast. I missed it.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time.
Yeah, even I, because I have a sort of a nostalgia connection to wrestling, so there is always a little bit of an interest. Not enough to go back and watch current, or not to watch current stuff.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to watch Raw this week. I just don't care. But, man, like, if there's, like, a 90s clip or something from, like, I'll sit and watch that.
Yeah.
Or something like I did, I watched Tough Enough, and I don't think I was watching wrestling at the time, but there was that.
But it was just kind of
still, yeah, kind of tickled
the
nostalgia.
Yeah, like, the UFC's got a show, like, that's very similar to it, that I get sucked into it just because it's a reality show, and it's about dudes fighting. And
but you also get seeing, like, how much it takes to get to that
what kind of training
point.
You have to do, how much I would never be able to do it because I'm such a bitch. There's no way I can handle all the different, like, just the regime of, like, having to eat certain things every single day and having to go in, and I have no discipline.
Right.
Like I've said before, I have no discipline to stick to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the thing, is even when we were backyard wrestling on a trampoline or something like that, like, because there was only, you know, six or seven of us, I was one of the wrestlers that would wrestle, but I remember watching Tough Enough and going, like, okay, I'm not big enough to be a wrestler, but I could probably be a manager.
Yeah, there you go.
Learn to take a couple bumps and then be, but at the same time, I don't know that I could talk enough crap to be a manager either.
But I could get the little Jimmy Hart thing going?
Yeah, right, or Bobby Heenan or something like that. Like, I could you know, grab the leg when they come by. And
You practice when you play video games against opponents online, and you just trash talk everybody. You'll get real good at it.
Okay.
I know from experience.
All right, that's fair. Yeah, I think James would be a great manager.
Oh, James would be wonderful.
I wanted to. Like, it's hilarious. Cause so, like, around this time last year, there was a little local wrestling league called CWL that started, Championship Wrestling League.
Yeah.
And at that same time, I had talked to my girlfriend. I'm like, I'm going to look into being, like, a wrestling manager. Like, all I got to do is talk trash. I might get beat up every once in a while.
Right.
I think I can handle that. And then they literally reached out about doing commentary on the wrestling thing. So I don't think anything else is going to come of the CWL anymore.
Right.
Like, either that, they hated me, I was that bad, which I know I was pretty bad, but I might look back into becoming a manager.
A wrestling manager?
Yeah.
I would look forward to seeing you at the side of the ring, for sure. Well, thank you, as always, for tuning in for the Nerd Radio podcast here and for our stream on Twitter. Yeah, on Checkpoint XP, you got to look at my weird nose a little bit more.
Yeah. I don't think your nose is that weird, though.
No, I don't think so.
That's a Robbie from Checkpoint XP thing.
Yeah, for sure.
He's very specific about his noses. he's a nose enthusiast.
But as always, I encourage you guys, rate and review us on I almost said Facebook. Don't rate and review us on Facebook. Rate and review us on iTunes.
No, you go on Facebook to talk trash about us.
Right, exactly. Yeah. As always, we'll be back again next week around 11 o'clock on Checkpoint XP's Twitch stream. And stay tuned to their Twitch stream because they got a bunch of great shows, too.
Yeah.
They got a Dungeons & Dragons show that I believe is on Monday evenings. They talk a whole bunch of video games. They got a daily show that comes up with Checkpoint XP. It's good times, man, just like we have.
Yes.
Except more prepared.
More prepared.
Much more prepared.
Yeah, better content, better personalities. But we all have fun. And
they've got it all.
Matters.
They've really got it all going for them.
That's the point. We have a good time. All right, that's this week's Nerd Radio. Bye-bye.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
And we're out.
Jesus.
Somebody got a thesaurus for Christmas?
I guess. Well, I always say that so many of these bands are, like, completely unpronounceable. Or they'll send you the thing in their logo. You can't read the...
I'm convinced, because I saw somebody on social media a couple months ago post, like... the logo to a metal band and then a picture of tree roots.
Yeah.
Yep.
And ever since then, I'm convinced that if your band uses a font that looks like tree roots, I already know I'm going to have a bad time.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm sure there are people who feel the reverse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Probably. Yeah.
Oh, man, I have no idea what words those are, so yeah. I'm going to love this band. No, I'm not going to have a
good
time.
It because you hate it.
Yeah, right. Or the reverse. I hate it because you liked it. That's what people say about Nerd Radio.
Hey, from off mic to on mic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.